topic of tears, of crying. In this week's parasha, we have two references, record of two different references of crying. Number one, Vayihi kisichena einav meirois. How did the whole story come out? Vayihi kizaken Yitzchak, right? It says vatichena einav meirois. His eyes, he was not able to see. His word vatichena. What is a good translation of the word vatichena? It was dimmed. It was dulled. His eyes were dulled. His eyes were dimmed. He was unable to see. Why was he unable to see? So Rashi says here, Rashi says something very, very shocking. Something that is extremely shocking. Thank you very much for the cup of coffee. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bedvaro. What it says here in Rashi, oh, you had sugar?
Did I give you sugar?
Yeah.
Fine.
It's fine. It's okay.
Okay.
It must be a good sign because I never ever have sugar. All right. Thank you very much. Now Rashi says something very shocking. I think it's so shocking. If you would rate from all the strange things in Chumash, this has to be from the top, because when you're dealing with mystical things, it's already things that are mystical are already bizarre. And when you want to add bizarre to bizarre, then you really pushing the envelope. And what does it say? Why? How did it come about that Yitzchak was blind? And was he mamash blind? I don't know. I guess so. That's what it seems to say, right? It doesn't say he was blind. It says vatichena einav meirois. What does that mean exactly? Maybe it means that on that day he had cataract surgery. So on that day, the day when he wanted to give the brachas, you know, his eyes were covered on that day. It doesn't say that he was blind. I really don't know, but it says, you know, they teach us in kindergarten he was blind. All right, so right now we'll make believe we're in kindergarten, he was blind. How did he get blind? Rashi, be'ashanlan shel elu shohoyu ma'ashnois umaktirois lavoy dezara. Smoke. I always thought smoke was bad for the lungs. Here it says that smoke is not good for the eyes. Are you aware of that? That's what it says over here. You would think that he had lung problems. No, he had eye problems, vision problems, because his daughter-in-laws every day were offering incense to Avodah Zarah. Really? He's going to make smoke? All right, listen, that's not the point we want to make. That's what it says over here. Next. Dovar Acher. What's the second? Kishenekar al gabi ha-mizbeach v'choye aviv roitzeh l'shochtoy. When Avraham wanted to slaughter Yitzchak, the heavens opened up, and the Malachi HaShoreis were watching. It was like, I don't know, they were watching, and they were crying. Wow, I never knew Malachim cry. You ever know that? Did you ever know Malachim cry? Malachim have emotion? Malachim have emotion? Do they have free will? They have emotion? They're able... what's going on here? The yardu dim oy sehem benoflu al einov. Wow! Not only did the Malachim cry, did they cry, tears streamed down from their eyes, it came down from heaven, and punkt, it landed right in the eyeballs of Yitzchak. That's not precision. I don't know what is precision. How did their tears land directly in the eyes of Yitzchak? And just because the tears land in the eyes, why does that mean he goes blind? Just the opposite. It's like he should have supernatural vision. He should have x-ray vision. There are a lot of bizarre things here in this Rashi. We don't think about it because we're taught this Rashi when we're in kindergarten. We accept it. We go home and then the rest of our lives. Yeah, okay, we accept it.
Really?
Malachim? Malachim cry? Malachim have emotion? Malachim have tears? I thought Malachim are spiritual beings. There's nothing physical about them. So and they have emotion and they cry and they have tears. And the tears descend from heaven to earth with laser precision that they land in the eyes of Yitzchak. And these tears are not compatible with this world and caused him to go blind. Instead of Adarab having x-ray vision, now he goes blind. That's what it says in Rashi. It doesn't say that his eyes, it doesn't say, actually, maybe that comes to answer the question. It doesn't say that it was blind. It says kahu. Maybe means indeed he had, I don't know, whatever it means, it means. All right.
He certainly couldn't see.
That's what it says, right? It says, right, I'm not exactly what it says. So that's the first example. The second example of crying we have in this week's parasha, it's very unique, is Esav. Esav cries. When Yaakov Avinu revealed, when Yitzhak reveals that he gave the blessings to Yaakov, Bo'achicha b'mirma, Yikach esbircha secha, he took your blessing. What does it say? There's a whole conversation going on between Yitzchak, and then later it says Kishmoya Esav Divrei Aviv Yitzchak first Yitzchak Zaka. Then there's a conversation, and then he says, Vayomer Yitzchak LeEsav Hin Gvir, Vayomer Achikara Shmo Yaakov Vayakveni Zef Faamayim Es Bicholasi Lokach Vinei Atolach Bicholasi. What's over here? Havarocha chaschi l'chavi barcheni gam oni avi vayisa esav koiloi vayefk vayefk. It's a very hard word to say. L'chav. It's not. It's vayefk. 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 The k with a k. Vayefk. Not vayefk. Vayefk with a k. Vayefk. Because the dot in that chav. The dot vayefk. So wait a minute. What's going on over here? So he cried, and Chazal tell us. How many tears? They're different. They're contradictory Mamari Chazal. One of the more popular Mamari Chazal says that he cried two tears. One came out of his left eye, one came out of the right eye, and the third one was swelling up. It doesn't say which eye the third tear came from. It doesn't say that, but there was a third tear that was on its way. And because of tear number one, the Bayis Rishon was Charaf. Because of tear number two, the Bayis Sheni was Charaf. And if the third tear would have come out, then there would be no hope for us. But because the third tier did not come out, we only suffer in this world, but there is still hope for us. The koyach of the tears of Esav. Yitzchak, think about this. There's a theme, there's a common thread. Yitzchak, this whole thing came about because of the tears of the Malachim. That's why Yitzchak was not able to see who he's giving the blessings to. And what almost undermined the entire, almost reversed the entire blessing, was the tears of Esav. You see an incredible koyach in his tears. Now let's discuss some ideas, one thing at a time. First thing is an incredible insight. I don't know who says this. I forgot. I have it all written down here. I have it in my notes, but I didn't really get a chance, unfortunately, to review. I wrote all the notes yesterday, but I didn't get a chance at the last moment to just review it. To review it in detail, so we'll do the best that we can. But there's a very powerful idea. This is an incredible idea. If you look at the psukim very carefully, there's a dialogue between Yitzchak and Esav, and there are two parts to the conversation. The first part of the conversation is when Yitzchak becomes aware that he gave the blessings to Yaakov, and he tells him. He says, Bo'achicha v'yoymer. Yitzchak says to Esav, sorry, Bo'achicha b'mirma v'yikach bircha secha. Esav explodes. He explodes. V'yoymer. Really? Hachi kara shmo Yaakov. That's why he's called Yaakov. V'yakveri zef ha'mayim. Es b'choyrosi lokach v'yahinei ato lokach birchasi. He explodes. And he says to his father, Father, okay, he deceived me, but still, give me a blessing. You got to have something up your sleeve for me. You got to have vayoymer, vayomar, haloi otzalto li biracha. And Yitzchak says, no, there's nothing left. He got it all. There's nothing left for you. Vayan Yitzchak, vayomer leisav, hein gevir samte lechach. Sorry, there's nothing left for you. Whatever you'll get anyway goes to him, because you're a slave. Esav then says, he says a second statement. Argument number two. He says the same thing. He basically repeats himself, Mila b'mila. Before we say, Yomah halo yatzalt li baracha, he says, Havrocha chas hi l'cha avi barcheni gam ani avi. Okay, the words are a little bit different, but he says it. And then, in the next pasuk, Yitz, okay, I got a bracha for you. Mishmane ha'aretz, yeh moshavecha, mitala ha'shmai me'ol, groisa brachas, unbelievable brachas. What changed between Esav's first argument and Esav's second argument? After his first request, not argument, request, after his first request, the answer was zero. Zero. There's nothing. It's impossible. And then he says, Father, come on. Got to do something. Okay, I give you incredible blessings. What? What's going on over here? You know what the difference is? The difference is when he made his first request, he didn't cry. When he made his first request, he was cold. He just said, Dad, come on. I'm the Bechor. You can't write me out of the will. You can't do this. His father said, Sorry, son, nothing I can do for you. But when he repeated the request a second time, Vayisa Esav Koiloi Vayefk, he cried. The reason why his second request was successful was because he cried. That's the only difference between the first request and the second request. When he cried, the impossible happened. Yaakov Avinu, Yitzchak said to him, it's impossible, there's nothing, nothing I can do for you. And then he cried. Wow. A tear, b'chi, can change the impossible, even for a Russia. Even for a Russia. The koyach of Dema is incredible. That's what it says. That's an incredible, incredible thing over here in this pasuk. Okay, now, here's the question I want to let's go take a step back. Now I'm telling you something that I don't think you can really even say this. This surely is a very dangerous thing I'm going to say. I shouldn't really even say this, but we need to find an answer for this. Why, according to Rashi's interpretation, did Esav, Yitzchak lose his eyesight? The Malachim cried. We have a principle, Mida Keneged Mida. That's the rule. Mida Keneged Mida. We always have, you have to be very careful because we never understand. If Yitzchak lost his eyesight through tears, has to mean that he was guilty. I can't say, it's very dangerous what I'm saying now, and I don't mean to chas v'shalom say anything that is apikorsis, which is disrespectful, but we have to search, did Yitzchak do anything in his life that caused someone else to shed tears, which would result in him losing his eyesight because of tears? Is there an event? Yitzchak seems like the ultimate tzaddik. The ultimate tzaddik, like the perfect art scroll book. there's nothing kule yofer rayosi umum einbach. Is there anything that we find that well, it's very interesting. Right before this whole story happened, we learn, well, even really before, this week we have history repeats itself three times, which is very scary. When history repeats itself twice, that's already bad enough. When the third time already, you got to ask questions what's going on. Avraham and Sarah came into very difficult situations twice. Where? Paro and Avimelech. So you would think, when it comes to the next generation, we don't fall into that trap anymore. And yet, Vayeshev Yitzchak Bigrar, Yitzhak lived in Gerar. Vayish'alu anshei hamakoyim le'ishtoi. This week's parasha. The people said, who is this woman that you're with? Vayoymer, he said, Achoisihi, she's my sister. Why did Yitzchok lie? He lied. Mamash lied. Sheker. He lied. Ki yore, he was afraid. Leimor, Ishti, it's my wife. Why? Penyar Guni, Anshe Mokam al Rivko, ki tevas marehi. Vayehi, ki orhu lo sham, hayabim, vayashkef, avimelch, melch, polish, vayanachaloim, vayar. And he called Yitzchok. And he says, no, kimat shochav achar ha'ames ishtecha ve'vesel aleinu asham. You know what happened over here? This could have led to a tragedy. Now let's ask a question. Rivka, how did she feel about all this? Okay. Rivka's life was in danger. Just like when Rivka's Yitzchak, I'm trying to put some pieces together. What's very interesting is that this whole ma'isa of Yitzchak, who's the one that saved Yitzchak from himself? Rivka. It was Rivka that, pun intended, she saw things differently. She saw things differently than him. She had a very different vision of what's going on than Yitzchak. And she arranged that the bracha should go to Yaakov because Yitzchak was blind. Why was he blind? Because of tears. And who's the one that came to the rescue? Who took over? Who took charge? Rivka. Rivka, we don't find anywhere that I know of that Yitzchak was ever guilty of causing anyone pain. Where could you find in the Torah a situation where Yitzchak caused pain? Did he cause pain to anyone? It doesn't say anything about Yitzchak. Yitzchak was born. He made a birthday party for him. Vayas Mishta Gadol. And that's it. And the next thing we know, it's time for the Akedah. What's going on over here? The only thing that we learn about Yitzchak is he lied. He put his wife in danger. Women, when they're in danger, Noshim have a tendency to cry. Now, it doesn't say this anywhere what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, I'm asking a question. Is there a relationship between Rivka's tsar? You can't say Rivka was not in pain, was not vulnerable through this entire story. There's a whole story going on over here. Is there a connection between the pain of Rivka, and when Noshim are in pain, typically it results in tears, to Yitzchak losing his eyesight due to tears, and Rivka herself being the one? There are too many coincidences here. There are too many open ends that need to be addressed. This is just a raw thought, not the main thing we want to discuss. Now let's move ahead and discuss some other things about tears. Chazal say that if a person cries, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he counts the tears. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he counts every single tear and he puts them away in a noid. Benoid, we say this actually in the Nusach, of Yom Kippur. We say, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yirotzoin Milofonecho, Shoymea Kol Bichyoit, Shetosim Dim Oisenu Binoidecho, in your flask, Lihiyois. The key word is Lihiyois, that it should remain. Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts every single tear, puts it away. What is the premise of Chazal telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu he counts? And the answer is, in Halacha, Adavar Shebeminyon is Loibotol Afilu be'elef. Ordinarily, you have a mixture. You have a mixture of something. It's bottle. One in two, one in 60, one in 100, one in 200. There are many different levels of bittel. Davar gush, solids, a bottle, one in two. taste is bottle 1 in 60. Truma is bottle 1 in 100. Neter Avai Kilya Kerem is bottle 1 in 200. But a Dover Shabiminion, something that is very chosh, that is counted one at a time, Loi bottle Afilu Be'elef. The reason why it says concerning a tear that the tear should be taken and put away in a flask, Lihiyois, it's not bottle. Being like Kodesh Baruch Hu counts the tears, one tear has the power to overcome, to outweigh a massive collection of complaints and kitra against Klal Yisrael. Don't say that the one zuchus, a person does a good merit. We talk about Rosh Hashanah. What happens in Rosh Hashanah? On Rosh Hashanah, we have a scale. On one side, you put all the mitzvahs, the other side, all the averus. All right, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not deny reward for every mitzvah you do, but on a very simple level, if the scale is tilted in one direction, that's it. Everything on the other side is not going to help you today. The bottom line is, the majority is guilty, guilty. Everything else, to a degree, becomes bottle. It's not accepted, it's not viewed, because the weight of the sins are very great. When it comes to mitzvahs and averos, to a degree, one becomes bottle to the other. But when it comes to tears, being that a tear is a davar shebeminyan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the tears, and he puts them away, lihiyos, it's loy bottle afilu be'elef. What one tear can do can outweigh a very large collection of complaints. We know, let's give you some other examples about in Chazal. We know that Shavuos, we read about David. David and Naomi and Naomi and Orpah. Naomi had two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah. Ruth cleaved to Naomi, but Orpah, she left. She, they left Eretz Yisrael, and then after the famine, when they decided to come back, Naomi told her two daughter-in-laws, go back to your family, there's no need to come home with me. Ruth Dovkaba, but Naomi left. Before she left, it says in the Pasuk, she cried. When she departed from Naomi, she cried. And Chazal says she cried four tears. And each one of those tears produced one of our arch enemies. And one of them was Goliath. David was a Balbechi. In Tehillim, we read over and over, there are many psukim in Tehillim where David, when he describes his pain, he describes, we say in Tachman. In Tachman, we describe Kol Bichi. The reason why David was the nemesis of Goliath is because you need a Balbechi to counteract the product of tears. It was only David that was able to take out Goliath, because Goliath was one of the four Giborim that was a product of a tear of Naomi. When Naomi took leave of, when Orpah, who was the great-grandmother, so to speak, of Goliath, when she took leave of Naomi, she cried. That tear resulted in the birth of Goliath, to a degree, to God. And David, it was only David, because David had the koyach of, not everyone has this koyach to cry. The ability to open up your emotions to cry is unique. It's not something which the common man has. You need a person who's a balbechi to counteract the koyach of an enemy that is a product of a tear. Now, what is the classic example of this yisoid? Yosef. There is no greater balbechi in Tanakh than Yosef HaTzadik. When Yosef HaTzadik meets his brothers, again and again and again, it says he cried, he cried, he cried. When he met his father, he cried. When he saw Binyamin, he cried. When he saw his brothers for the first time, he cried. Again and again, he goes in Hacharodah, into the secret chamber, where he can cry. Yosef is the koyach of Bechi. It says in the pasuk, "V'hoye beis Yaakov le'esh u'beis Yosef le'hova." And Esav is the kash. Chazal said that Yaakov Avinu was not ready, was unable to return to Esav until Yosef was born. He didn't need Binyamin. He did not need Binyamin number 12 to be here. He needed Yosef. He had already 10 shvatim. I can't go home. I cannot confront Esav. Yaakov is an Esh. Beis Yaakov is Esh. Yaakov and his 10 sons are Esh. But Yosef is Lehova. It's a flame. Fire without a flame is nothing. You can make a fire. You can rub two stones together. Big deal. You have a spark. You have fire. It's not sustainable. A flame represents flame that is sustainable, that can travel. I need Yosef. V'hoya beis Yaakov le'esh uveis Yosef le'hova. And then the pasuk goes on to say, and Esav is lekash, is stubble. And then he'll wipe him out. Why? Esav was about Bechi. Do we find anywhere that Yaakov cried? I don't think so. I don't think there's anywhere in the pasuk, any pasuk that says Yaakov cried. All of his difficulties in life, it doesn't say. Certainly he cried. Yaakov, Klal Yisrael would cry, no question. But the Torah doesn't say it. And the Torah doesn't say it. There's something Yaakov even had a very difficult life. He dealt with loving for 20, 22 years. It was torture.
Did Yaakov cry at his reunion with Yosef?
No.
No?
He was saying Kriya Shema. He was saying Kriya. It doesn't say that he cried. He just says he was stoic. Stoic.
So that was one way?
He didn't cry.
It says by Yivku when he met Esav, they both cried by Yivku.
Let me go look. Maybe you're right. Let's take a look. Let's take a look. Vayishlach. Let's go.
Yes.
I'm going to Vayishlach. Let's see. I'm going to, here it is. Vayorots Esav likrosoi. Vayichabekeyu. Vayipol al tzavrav. Vayishakeyu. Vayivku. They cried. B'losh and Rabin. They both cried. You're right.
Right.
You're right. They both cried. Let's take a look over here at the Rashi, Pasuk Dalet. Let me see the Rashi, Vayivku, Pasuk Dalet. There is no Rashi. The Vayiv, Vayichabkeyu, Vayichabkeyu, Vayishakeyu, Nokulov, Yishak, Medavazeb, writes the Sefrei, Shadarshu, Amarushim, Amichoy, Alochi, Biyadua, Shanakeyu, this famous Rashi. Doesn't comment. Let's see the Targum. Give me one moment. Pasuk Dalet in the Targum says, V'nashke uvicho. See, it's very strange. The Targum changed it to Lashon Yachid.
Really?
Rabbi Neiman, I don't know what this, I have no clue. I have no clue. I got to go to my safe ma'at, sorry, I don't have it here. Uvicho. Uvicho, I think is Lashon Yachid. I have no idea. Vayivku. Vayivku is Lashon Rabbin. They right. cried. Why did the Targum change it to Uvecho? Uvecho. Uvecho means he cried. I don't know.
Esav, because he lost his teeth.
Esav is not a kasha.
That's what we learned.
Okay, I have to look into this. I don't know. It's something very interesting. I don't know. Esav was a Balbechi. Because the pasuk says he cried. It says in our parasha, clear as day. The numerous Amori Chazal. Here it says they cried vayishakeu vayivku. The pasuk is really addressing Esav. There's something fishy here. The pasuk says vayorots. The subject of the pasuk is Esav. Vayorots Esav likroso vayichabekehu. He vayichabekehu means he. Esav embraced Yaakov.
No, could have said Vayev. If it was only referring to.
You're right. I'm not denying. It says clearly that they cried, but we have to figure this out. It says Vayichabek. The only one that embraced was Esav. Vayipol al tzavarav. Vayipol ki b'loshen yochid. Doesn't say Vayiplu. Vayipol. He. Esav is doing everything here. Al tzavarav. Vayishakehu, and he, B'loshen Yochid, he kissed Yaakov, and then it says, B'loshen Rabim Vayivku. Okay, I don't know. We have to go look this up and see what's going on over here. Look in the Mefarshim, figure out what the Targum means, we'll see. But one thing is, because he's saying very good, but until this point in time, Esav is the one that's crying. Yaakov needs a Balbechi on his team to counteract the Koyach of Esav. Who is on his team? Yosef. Yosef is the Balbechi. Why? V'hoya beis Yaakov le'esh, u'beis Yosef le'hova, and Esav is l'kash. That's Rachel. That's we'll come in a moment.
It's on his team.
No. It says the Eini Le'arakos. Wait a second. We'll come in a moment. Right now, let's deal with this at this moment. Why does it say that Yaakov needed Yosef on his team before he can meet Esav? So I'm just trying to suggest. But Neiman is challenging me very much. I'm not worried, but he's putting a very strong challenge.
Okay, so let me hear.
But Yaakov, why does the Pasuk say that Yaakov Avinu needs Yosef on his team before he can confront Esav? I'm suggesting because Esav is a Baal Bechi, and the Koyach HaBechi is enormous, can overcome anything. And Yaakov did not have that degree of emotion. Yaakov was more of the intellectual type. And therefore, Yaakov cannot confront Esav with all of Yaakov's tzidkis, keneged the rishis of Esav. This world is not fair, Rabbi Sai. It's not a fair world. The koyach of Bechi, at the end of the day, Hashem sells the score. We all know that. But there's a koyach of Bechi. Chazal make it very clear that Esav, look at what we learned, that what we just said before is a very powerful idea. This is not my idea, that we said before. It's not my idea. Chazal say, what happened between the first request and the second request? The answer is the second request, Esav cried. And that's why he got whatever he wanted. He got Seir. He got enormous blessing. Yaakov Avinu knows that. I can't compete with a person who's a Baal Bechi. I'm going to lose. I need a Baal Bechi on my team. He had 10 children. None of them can match the cries of Esav. Yosef is, I have a Yosef on my team. What is Yosef's defining midah? A Baal Bechi. Now I'm a match. Now my tzidkus with Yosef's tears wipe out Esav. Wipe him out. Zelumazeh. Rabbi Neiman is challenging me that Yaakov is also a Baal Bechi because it says Vayivku. Excellent question. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But we have to look at the Targum. Targum says Uvecho. What is going on over here in this Targum? And why is the entire Pasuk addressed B'loshon Yochid? And then suddenly the very last word of the Pasuk, it's B'loshon Rabim. So we have to go look and see what it says in Mefarshim to understand what's going on, what it means here exactly, Vayivku.
Okay. But I'm curious to hear a Teres. Okay,
we have to see. I have to go look in the Rishonim, and also in the Ma'at Tzori, my favorite Sefer on Targum, I'm certain he'll have something over there to explain the change from why the Targum translates it B'loshon Yochid instead of B'loshon Rabbi. That's just up his alley. Okay, let's go to another.
The Radak says, yeah.
Both. They both cried.
He beat him.
Okay.
That's why he was
crying. Okay, but they both cried. He learns, the Radak learns, they both cried. Pshuto kimashmai. That's the pasuk. Okay, so we have to deal with it. But there is still some truth to what I said. Even if they both cried, Esav has a special klecha b'chi that he does, and that needs to be addressed by Yosef. Let's go to some other ideas about crying. So there's a famous Rabbeinu. Also, I want to point out something I left it very important. The word, what does a dima mean? Dimua. See, this comes back. I always like to talk about this idea about language. Dema. Yishrosh yisharesh. We always come back to the same thing again and again. Yeshua Shisharesh. Yeshua means to take root. Yeshareish means to uproot. It's exactly the same letters. Exactly the same letters, but they have opposite meanings. One word means to take root, one means to uproot. When you manipulate the vowels, you go mikotze ela kotze. What does the word dema mean, dimua? It's a very popular word in the Mishnayos, in the Gemara. It must appear in the Talmud 1,000 times. It means a mixture. Dimua means a mixture. You have a mixture of chum and chul, a mixture of you have tevel, you have this, you have all different types of mixtures. A mixture. When you have a mixture, by definition, there's something called bittul, annulment. But a tear is never bittul, as we explained. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the tears. Okay, he counts the tears and puts the tears away, bebeis ginozov, in his storage facility. Something that is counted, dover shebeminyan afilu be'elef loy bottle. It's not subject to a mixture. And therefore, that's why it's exactly the same letters as dimua. Dimua means a mixture. When you have a mixture, by definition, a mixture cancels its minority. This is the mahus. The essence of a mixture is bittul. But when you take exactly those same letters and you manipulate its vowels, it gives you the ability to go to the other extreme to represent something that is not subject to being mixed. Just like yishrosh, yisharesh, yiskol, yisokel. I always like the example of chalitza. Chalitza sanoal. To loosen the straps. And on Shabbos Mevorchim we say, Chilutz Atzomais. The bones should be tight in their socket. How could the word Chilutz mean to be tight in their socket and yet mean Chalitza Sanol, to loosen? It's exactly the point. There's so many examples of this. If you take a word, letters, and you manipulate its vowels, you go, you swing mikotze ela kotze. That is why a tear is called a dema. Because a tear, the word dema, when you change the vowels, dimua, the way it's used in the Mishnayos, dimua means a mixture. The essence of a mixture is nullification. Take that same word, those same letters, manipulate those vowels, it means the complete extreme opposite, an object that is not subject to nullification. It's there forever. That's why tears are called dema. What is a tear? A tear, it's a very beautiful, I don't know who says this, I heard this somewhere. A tear is no different than sweat. When a person goes jogging, person works out, sweat. What's sweat? Body is, you know, it's working overtime. It's hurting. It's steiking. It's really working. You're building up your muscles. There's a byproduct. But the byproduct is disgusting. No one's proud of their sweat has an odor. It's not clean. It's a mess. When the goof. The human body works overtime and gets better, stronger. It achieves, when the goof, it produces a byproduct, liquid, zeya. That liquid is disgusting. You know why it's disgusting? It's a glorification of the body. The body, the goof, materialism, the earth, it's being emphasized, it's being elevated, of course, for good things, for Torah, Yerushalayim. But the bottom line is, it's a Dover Gashmi. When a Dover Gashmi gets greater and better, it produces, the way Hashem made this world, it produces a byproduct, Zeya, which is most. You know why it's disgusting? Hashem made a Metzias of zeh, of sweat is disgusting, because the goof is not what it's all about. This world is only a tracklin for the olam haba. What is a tear? It's the zeh of the neshama. When the neshama is working overtime, when the neshama is growing, it's striving to achieve, when something spiritual happens in the person's mind and he feels pain, joy, or yearning, there are many different types of tears. Okay, tears are very complicated, but more or less tears, they touch upon spirituality, death, birth, joy, pain. They touch upon spiritual matters. A tear is the zeah of the neshama. Just like the zeah of the guf, that's ma'us, it's disgusting, there is the zeah of the neshama that is precious. That is gold. That neshama that feels a yearning of spirituality for divine things, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts away in his container, b'noitcha lihiyos. Okay, let's discuss another quick idea.
Can we say that the eye is very salty for some reason?
Salt. There's salt in the eyes. That's another whole topic of what is the idea of salt. Yeah, you want to say something? Yes, yes.
We say Shara HaDemois is never closed.
Oh, the Shari Demois. So you're talking about this thing that exactly that even the Sefer Chassidim he writes. The Sefer Chassidim
it's
an incredible. I'm saying it's not most. Exactly the point. That's exactly what I'm trying to bring out. Is that to appreciate the beauty of a tear, it's the complete opposite of the zeya of the guf. The zeya of the guf is most. Kinega this to the opposite extreme, the beauty, the value, the preciousness of a tear is the zeya of the neshama. Just like when you go to the gym and you work out and you, my guf is really good. My guf is stark. Your body, you glorify, it's very good. You have to. You have to use your body. But the bottom line is you focus on your body and you produce zeya. The zeya is the proof. It's the proof in the pudding. It's the pudding, right? It's there. That's the zeya of the guf. When a tear, it represents the sweat of the neshama, which is something that is very valuable. As we said before.
Yeah, listen, other thing. There's another place where I didn't want to interrupt. I was busy. There's another time when Yaakov cried.
Yeah.
When they presented him with the Ksonis Pasim, the brothers, it says, "Vayimohein lehisnachem ki ev, vayomer ki ered el bini shiola of el shiola vayevko so aviv."
Oh, excellent. Vayev, Yaakov cried.
Yitzchak cried.
No. It says, I understand what you're saying, but it doesn't.
Vayev olav aviv. Who's the one who cried?
But not necessarily. I understand.
Okay, who's the one who cried? Who's the one who cried? He's the one who cried. The Pshat Pasek. Okay, very good. Very good.
I understand, but that's not the Pashat Pshat.
Okay, very good. Okay, we have two examples. Mr. Nyman.
I'll tell you that the Pasek that we looked at before, when he meets Esav, the Targum Yonasan, I'm going to give you the translation, says, Esav Bacha Al Tsar. She nov she nis nad nu nis nad de du or something like that. The Yaakov bocha al tsar tsavor. He got bit, so he cried in pain.
Personal pain.
That's like a redact. That's okay. What he said.
Okay. So we have Mr. Nyman. Mr. Nyman has shown me vayivku, and Rav Mayevsky has shown us. Which, according to somebody, it's got to be someone who says that it means that Yaakov cried, not Yitzchak cried. All right, very good. I accept. Okay, but there is still truth to what I said, is that Esav, the hatred of Esav,
Yaakov doesn't do anything. I mean, it accomplishes, but the fact that Esav cried, Esav, this phony, he cried, that makes a difference.
Esav, the
like
hatred.
When he took the Bechorah, Yitzchak was overcome by the fact that even though Esav was a big phony, he obviously felt that Yitzchak's bracha, as spiritual as it was, would make a difference to him.
Right. The whole event, the whole hatred that came about between Esav and Yaakov was over because of Esav cried. When Yaakov of Yitzchak told him that your brother stole your brachas, he cried. That created a whole new dynamic. And Yaakov...
He cried because he was outsmarted.
No, there's more to it. Obviously, Esav wasn't a simple man. Esav understood the spirituality, the laws of spirituality. Esav, there's a lot going on there. When he cried, he cried because it hit him then. The Pashup shot. It hit him then what he could have had. Ruchnius, there was a spiritual element to that crying. It cannot be that it was just a cry. Oh, he cried because my brother went and he got a bracha. There's something very deep there. That those tears is what triggered a new dynamic, which Yaakov was not prepared for. And in order to counteract that degree of crying that Esav experienced, Yaakov needed a Yosef. It's true, Yaakov cried. Maskim. You're telling the Radak, you're telling me the Radak is really downplaying the crying. The Radak is saying he cried because he was in physical pain. That's a little disturbing, because you don't think about physical pain in the Torah. You talk about spiritual matters. Physically, of course, there was a spiritual cry that came forth from Esav. Yaakov was not prepared for that. That created a whole new dynamic. And Yaakov couldn't match that. And Yaakov needed a Yosef. Because Yosef had that koyach. Oh, you'll tell me later on that Yaakov Avinu also cried. Okay, there's crying and there's crying. It's a different degree. Yosef's degree of crying is to an extreme. It's to an extreme. It's a fact. And the degree, the cry of Esav, Chazal attribute the most horrific consequences. Two tears, one tear destroyed the Bayis Rishon, one tear destroyed the Bayis Sheni, the third tear was on its way out, and if not for the fact that it was suppressed, we would have no chance today. That's a heavy dosage of crying. And Yaakov Avinu, we don't find he had that, we had that. Yosef did have that. Yosef was the counter, was the antidote. Similar to David, was the antidote to Goliath. How come only David was able to take out Goliath? Well, they didn't have enough people there to go take out Goliath? Only David? Goliath was a product of the tear of Orpah. David, the whole Tehillim, it says numerous times in Tehillim, in David's Tefillos, I soaked my bed, we say this in the Tachman, I soaked my bed in tears. My whole bed is just, it's a water bed. It's full of tears. David HaMelech was a Baal Bechi. David HaMelech was the antidote. He was the match for Goliath, who was a product of tears. Okay, now let's go to some other things. Someone over here mentioned over here that the Shari Demos Lo Nanalu, even though the Chazal tell us that after the Chumash HaMikdash, the Koyach of Tfilah severely diminished. But the Shari Demos, what does that mean? The gates of tears. The Sefer Chassidim, he says it. Sefer Chassidim, he writes, very powerful. We have to go back and learn Sefer Chassidim eventually. The Sefer Chassidim, he says, there are people out there that really are not so kosher. They're not kosher people. There are a lot of problems, and they don't deserve that their tefillah should be answered. But when they cry, they get what they want. The Koyach of Demos, don't underestimate, he writes, I actually wrote it down. Yesh anoshim she'ein roi l'kabel tefilosam. Avol mishum ha'dim ois, Hashem mekabel tefilosoi ve'oisech heftsoi. It's not a simple matter. I think the famous mice with the Belzer Rebbe, if I'm not mistaken, is the Belzer Rebbe, the Tsar Shalom Shel Belz, going back, the Friede Gedores, where they built the new Beis Medrash, but the Ezras Noshim was incomplete for the Yomim Noiroim. And they said to the Rebbe, no, so we'll daven, we're all ready to move in. No, the Ezras Noshim, so no, the Viva. So let them stay home. They'll daven in the house. Big deal. We'll daven in the new Shtibel, the new Beis Medrash, and no, by Hanukkah time the Ezras Noshim will be ready. The Rebbe said, no, we're not going until the Ezras Noshim is ready. The Noshim must be in the Beis HaKnes when we daven. You know why? We need them. The Sharei Demois Loi Ninalu. Who cries when you daven? Noshim cry. That's part of the way Hashem made. Noshim, when they come to tears much easier than men. And when you daven the Yom Noirayim, who do you think, whose coattails are you holding on to get your tefillos where they need to go? You have a big shul, and everyone is davening and shuckling. Who's fueling the engines to get the tefillos to Shemayim? The Shari Demois, the gates of tears, the Ezras Noshim, where the Noshim sit, their tears is what fuels the tefillos. Okay, there are a lot of interesting stories about tears. Let me tell you one more good vart about Yirmiyahu. Say this in the Kinais. Yirmiyahu, I'll tell you two things. Yirmiyahu, in the Kinais, we say, it's a pasuk, it's not in the Kinais, it's a pasuk. Mi yitain roishi mayim. Right? Mi yitain, if only, I never understood this. I really don't understand what this means. To me, though, the pshat still is not satisfactory. What is it? Yirmiyahu says, mi yitain, if only, Roishimayim, the Eini Yizlu, I've got the end of the pasuk, my eyes would flow with tears. So what did Chazal say? What is the pshat in the pasuk? Yirmiyah said, I wish my head was a bucket of water, one big bucket of water. And that way I can continuously flow, the tears would continuously flow over the grief of Klal Yisrael. That's how I feel. I feel like I have to cry to no end as if my entire head is water, a bucket of water. Question is, if Yirmiyahu wants so many tears, he wants an unlimited supply of liquid for the tears, so why didn't he say, mi yitin beten, his stomach, his whole body should be water. Or why only the head? Why not the stomach, why not the chest, why not the torso, why not the legs, why stop with the head? And the answer is very simple. There are different types of tears. There are what they call crocodile tears. What exactly are crocodile? I don't know why it's called crocodile tears. Fake tears. Go look at Hollywood. I always wondered, Hollywood, how do they do it? Does anyone have an answer? How in Hollywood do they cry fake tears? And they make it look
onions,
so real.
Onions.
Yeah,
no,
onions.
No. This is method acting. They tell you to think of something sad and you will cry. You say, think of something terrible to happen. That's called method acting. They tell you, they teach you how to do that.
It's easy.
You could draw yourself to tears. This is real tears.
Fake
think
news.
Think of someone in your family who died or a tragedy and you right? cry.
This is.
Bill Clinton was great at that.
This is fake news. These are crocodile tears. These are make-believe tears. These are not real tears. The marshal over here is mi yitain roishi mayim, not mi yitain my guf. Yirmiyah said, I don't want my body, my stomach, to be filled with water. Tears that come because from my stomach, those are crocodile tears. They're worthless. The mi'itin roishi. Roishi represents the intellect, the mind, the place of spirituality. The only tears that have value that come forth to be mis'ablo with the churban are the tears from the mind, the spiritual element of man, not from the gashmiistic portion of man.
On Pitzachos, you could say roish devorcha emes.
Only the roish is emes. Yeah. Everyone knows the famous mice. We say this in the Kinnis with Yirmiyahu. He went to Avraham. Hashem said there's going to be a korban. So he meets this woman dressed in black, this the guardian angel of Klal Yisrael. This beautiful woman dressed in black, and she's crying, and she says, Yirmiyahu, go to Chevron, go to the Ovois, go ask them to be mespalel. And Yirmiyahu, he runs to the Ma'aros Machpel, and he goes to Avraham, and Avraham says, sorry, can't help you. He goes to Yitzchak, sorry, can't help you. Yaakov, can't help you. Moshe, sorry. Aaron, sorry. Unbelievable, right? It says in the Kinnis, Everyone there says, what do they do? Oh, they did Averus. Good for them. Let them get what they deserve. Shocking, right? And then, in the it doesn't say this in the Kinnis, but it says in the Medrash, who does he go to at the very end? Goes to Rochel. And all of a sudden, everything changes. What's the difference between Rochel and that she has that Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron don't have? What's the difference? Why is Rochel? So I know they tell you in third grade. You know they tell you in third grade? Because the koyach of not embarrassing somebody. She gave the simonim. My sister is going to be put to shame. That's a beautiful answer, and that's an answer is 100% not to take away from that answer one iota. The answer is dvarim nifloim ad ma'od. We're not taking away from the yoifi of that answer. But there's another answer. You know the difference is? She's the only one who cried. It doesn't say anywhere in the Medrash and in the Kina that when Yirmiyahu went to Avraham, Avraham cried. Doesn't say Yitzchak cried. Doesn't say Yaakov. Doesn't say Moshe. Doesn't say Aaron. Intellectual people. We're not the briskus. A kalta litvak. No crying. Rochel mevako al bonel. She cried. She cried bitter tears. Oh.
Piel mevako, not stam bocho.
Mevako, continuous. She cried. With tears, she was able to accomplish what combination Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, and Aaron could not accomplish. Look what a tear could accomplish. Okay, Rabbi Sai, there are a lot of stories about tears. One thing, we'll leave off. There are a lot of things. Let me just see very quickly. Anything I wanted? Okay, a lot of good stuff here, but we are out of time. But I'll just leave off with on a good note. On a good note is Umoch Hashem Elokim Dima Mial Kol Panim. That La'asalava, this is a very frightening idea. What does that mean exactly? I told this to you many times, this idea. That La'asalava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remove Umoch Hashem Elokim Dima, tears, me'al kol panim. Every single face. What does that mean exactly? Kol panim. Obviously, there are different types of tears. There are tears of pain, but of Shimon Schwab, I told you this many times. He says something. This is, you have to talk to a really heavy duty psychologist if this is true. He says every time people cry at simchas. Go to a chasna, you see the grandparents at the wedding of their grandchildren, they're crying. Why are you crying? It's a happy day. Why do people cry? Why do people cry at happy events? So some psychologists say, this is a very, very controversial part, a very deep part, find Mekoros and Chazal for this, is that when a person cries at a simcha, he's really crying from pain. When a person's mind reaches an extreme emotion, you're entering into the part of the brain where pain is stored. Memories of pain and memories of joy in the brain are stored in the same place. This is what they tell us. And when a person comes to a high emotional state of joy, he's really touching upon painful moments in his life. And the joy triggers that pain. You know, we don't realize how all of this is happening in our mind. We don't realize why we cry at times of joy. It's a very big dilemma. What exactly are tears? Are tears only from pain? L'may nafkamina. If a person never, ever in his life experienced pain, never, and now he achieves an incredible joy, will that joy trigger tears? So theoretically, if you can find, no such person exists, doesn't exist such a thing in this world, but theoretically, if this idea is correct, then a person who never experienced pain in his life, when he experiences joy, it will not cause tears to come forth. Le'osid lovo, whatever this means, this is all very mystical stuff, Rav Shimon Schwab says everything I'm telling you now, Hashem will remove the existence of pain. Thus, at a time of joy, there will be no tears. Umoch Hashem lokim dima, Hashem will remove tears. Me'al kol panim. Afilu panim of simcha. Chayim Chazal actually say, kol panim, all panim, even moments of joy. Because the only reason why there are tears at a time of joy is because it triggers the tears of pain. But if there never was pain, then there won't even be tears at times of joy. Now, is that good or bad?
There will be tears, but Hashem imchel otam.
Okay, that's a different mahalach. That's a different idea. That's not what he said. He's saying a different idea. He's saying that it's not even going to exist. Now, you have to ask yourself, is that really good? Is that really beneficial? Well, not really. Because we all know that when there's no Yetzirah, no pain, no gain. The tears of joy have extreme sweetness because they were achieved through overcoming the pain. No pain, no gain. When there's a Yetzirah and you overcome the Yetzirah, then the reward is great. If there's no Nisayon, then it's boring. That's not the purpose of this world. The purpose of this world is to be able to overcome. So it's complicated pasuk. When it says Hashem will take away dima me'al kol panim, what exactly does that mean? If it means, it doesn't say in the pasuk Hashem will remove dima from the people who have tsar, even the people who have joy, because people who have joy are triggering pains, memories of pain, but it's totally zeh b'zeh. The way Hashem made a human being is that when there is joy, the joy itself connects to the pain. Obviously, there's a relationship between the two, which is super complex. All right, everybody, so we're out of time.
Listen, one more time. The first time that Yaakov cries is when he meets Rachel.
Oh, okay, so you knock me out of the box. Everyone here, they knock me out of the box. Right? Strike three. Strike three.
My point is, it's not wrong what you said, except that he cried.
Right, he did cry.
Expect
I think it's a different quality of crying. It's a different quality of crying.
But the fact that he cried shows a soft side there, that he was able to cry.
I don't take back my vart. I don't concede. I'm not conceding. I won.
I have a support for you. I have more support for you, boy.
He took it on the chin time after time, and he took it like a man.
Okay.
When Hagar, when.